Always sounds a bit grand when Rick calls it the sermon. I'm not so never quite sure what to make of it. So today, as you've heard, we continue with the Gospel of John. So a short prayer. So Lord, may my words today help us all see something of the glory of Jesus. And seeing that glory, may we all the more ask Jesus for help. Submit to his purpose for our lives and be transformed by the salvation he brings. Amen. So this week, as you've heard, we are looking at what is commonly referred to as the first miracle of Jesus. My Bible even has that as a title for the commentary for the passage. And we even read in verse 11, this is the first of his miraculous signs. But despite what I, and maybe you always thought as a miracle, John's emphasis is on the word signs. Later on in John 20, we read, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So today we heard the first of John's signs, that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So this is a well-known passage, and when I saw it, I was a bit worried. There's so much being written about it that I thought we might be here for a while. How do I pick up the sort of points of it? But I'm sure you'll be pleased to know I managed to edit it down to around less than 30 minutes anyway. So if you're sitting comfortably, we'll have a look about what's going on here and what we can take from it. We don't know the name of the bride and the groom, but we must have had some connection with Jesus and his family because they've been invited. We will know that he was there with his friends too, his disciples, as we heard in John 1, 2, verse 1 and 2. All was going well, everybody's having a good time. Then disaster strikes, they run out of wine. In the culture of that day, this isn't just a small inconvenience, an embarrassing mistake. It was known for those guests who felt there hadn't been enough food and wine to actually sue their hosts for the lack of entertainment. So, I don't know if you've been to a wedding like that, but never mind. So, Mary recognises that there's a problem, and she brings it to Jesus. I don't know if you heard the bit, but he's not particularly helpful with a response along the lines of, why are you telling me? It's not my problem. However, Mary instructs the servants to do whatever Jesus says, and we get a miracle as water is turned into wine. For those who like to know money, it's about 120 gallons. That's a lot of wine. So, and I don't know about you, but I think that's a great first miracle, water into wine. So, later we'll hear about healing, feeding thousands of people, even bringing a friend back to life. But first it's a party and water into wine. I'm not thinking it was critical that the party should continue, that it was imperative that the alcohol should continue to flow. Embarrassing maybe, but not a matter of life or death. But I think it shows Jesus understands and cares about all the things in our lives, just not the big things. What do we do when we see a need in our home, in our family, or just with life in general? Do we, like Mary, ask Jesus for help? Or do we think, who am I to bother him with my little problems? We could be put off by Jesus' initial response here. It's not my problem. Or more accurately, he said, my time has not yet come. Which perhaps gives a little more insight into what he's thinking. I think Jesus' words indicate that he was working to his schedule. It was the start of his ministry. He'd only just called his first disciples. And people weren't ready to be confronted with the reality of who he was. When Mary suggested that Jesus do something at the wedding, was she wanting a more public miracle? So that everyone could see his glory, recognize who her son was. But Jesus knew it wasn't time for him yet. As we hear, he did perform a miracle, but quietly, and only a select group of people saw it and knew what happened. Mary's next words, do whatever he tells you, acknowledge that what Jesus said, but show a faith in Jesus that he could and would do something, even if she didn't know what, or that it might not be quite what she expected. They were servants, so off they went. It doesn't say if the jars were completely empty, but 120 to 180 gallons of water is a lot to carry. When they finished filling the stone water pots, they returned to Jesus for further instructions. I'm sure they weren't expecting what Jesus would say next. Now draw some out and take it to the head steward, the master. I know what my response would have been. I know Mary said to do whatever Jesus said, but he can't be serious. When the steward finds out it's only water, and which water, I'm dead. However, they did it anyway. We ask for help from Jesus, but then we need to submit to the matter and ourselves to his purpose. Do whatever he tells us. I know that can be hard. Not perhaps in the carrying over 120 gallons of water hard. I did read somewhere it converts to about half a ton of water, that carrying, so that's a lot. Some of you may have heard this story a while ago, but a number of years ago I was out of work. I was desperate for a job. I really felt God was saying wait, but it was hard. I wasn't getting any interviews, and I was running out of money. Then I was offered this job. I knew it wasn't right. It was telesales for home improvements. I'm sure you've all had them. You know the ones. Sort of, we're working in our area, you're working in your area. Sort of, can I get one of our salespeople to call? Sort of, terrible work. So I lasted till lunchtime before I had to accept it wasn't for me. So what God is saying or asking of us can challenge us, make us feel uncomfortable. Today's reading encourages us to be like that servant and do it anyway. At the end of today's reading, in verse 11, we hear, this is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. If it was meant to be a sign, I'm left wondering how it could be our Lord's glory could have been revealed. So few knew a miracle had been performed. The water didn't change colour. Jesus didn't do any sort of miraculous abracadabra waving his arms around. He just said, draw out the wine. But maybe it was for the first few individuals who needed that encouragement. For his disciples who just joined him on his journey. For us struggling to see Jesus at work in our everyday lives. He's with us today in this world where things aren't going as planned. Here's this great wedding where we've accepted the invitation. And it was all going so well. But then it feels like the wine's running out. We face discouragement, disappointment, illness, loss. You tell Christ what is happening, however minor you consider it to be. And you tell him you need his help. None of us can know how God will use what is happening in our lives. However, when the wine runs out, when we ask and do what Christ says, it will show his glory. And we can echo the words of the steward. You have saved the best till last. Amen.
Thank you so much, Simon. Friends, let's respond, shall we, in fresh faith to this Jesus who cares, who's involved in our everyday life.